Psalm 103 says this, the first bit and the last bit. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. At the end of the psalm, the psalmist says, praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts. You, his servants who do his will, praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Okay, if you open your Bibles or just listen to the reading of Psalm 103. I'm going to start from verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, but its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word.
Okay, friends, Psalm 103, did you notice there, Moses? He made his ways known to Moses. As we think about Dad's Day 2024, I'm not sure how you actually feel, and I'm not sure how this falls for you. Now, you may be a long distance from your dad or granddad or great-grandfather. My dad is actually in Sydney. My father-in-law is in Grafton. My wife's in France. But I'm happy and I'm joyful that my kids are here with me at church today. And that brings me great joy. But I'm not sure how you're feeling personally today or how it falls for you this day. It might have been a recent loss for you of a father or grandfather. It may be that there is sickness for your granddad or your father right now. It may be that your relationship with them is pretty dysfunctional. And it may be that there is a good relationship. It could be a bad one. And so I'm not exactly sure how that falls for you. Now, I do want to just say lastly that being around your dad too might be exhausting. I don't know if my kids find that. Or it could be really relaxing. Either one. I'm not sure exactly how you feel on this day or how it falls for you. But I want to acknowledge those things. And I want to just place them to the side as we actually come to our Heavenly Father. And we've already prayed, or as we prayed, the Lord's Prayer. And I want to remind you of the Lord's Prayer, that we pray our Father. That is collectively, when you come to Jesus, you're in the Father's family. And we can call out to him as our Father. And so let me pray for us now as we come before him. Our Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us, that you have a word for us, that despite whatever feelings, however this day falls upon us, we can actually talk to you, we can speak to you, and you listen. And thank you now that we can come to you with our hearts, however it is, of joy or heavy. And we thank you that you listen and you love us. And we thank you now in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, it is good to pray to our Father, but we're in a series. If you haven't been here with us, we're traveling along. We're halfway through a Timothy series. If this is new to you today, good on you for being here. Just to catch you up a little bit, we should be on chapter 4 today. What we're going to do is just a little bit of chapter 5, one verse in chapter 5. You'll be happy about that, won't you, my son? One verse in chapter 5. And we'll look at a couple of the scriptures as well. But to tell you that Timothy, and just to get a picture of Timothy and his story, Timothy was seen as maybe a little bit timid, and Paul is encouraging him to be a man and lead the church and be the man of God he's been called to be. That is young timid Timothy is in Turquia, which is in modern day Turkey. If you have know where Tarsus is, and this Lystra is where he lived, that is in like central Turkey. And Tarsus is where Paul was from, Saul of Tarsus, in the east. But if you stretch to the west, where you hit Ephesus, which is on the coast, on the western coast, that is where he's writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy actually grew up in Lystra, in central Turkey, in the middle there, and that's his little backstory. But the backstory also goes that his dad was Greek, a Greek speaker. Maybe he was a proselyte and he converted to Judaism, but certainly his mother was a Jewess. And we hear about her prayers for him in his mother and his grandmother. That's Timothy's backstory. And here he is born and grows up in Lystra. That is a Roman colony because the Roman Empire is ruling that place. And it's a thoroughfare from Tarsus all the way to the coast and out there at Ephesus. That's his context. Now, he has a spiritual father. And this, I don't know if you've seen that movie, The Apostle, but he has a spiritual father in Paul. And Paul can say in 1 Timothy 1:2, he says he has a genuine son. He says, Timothy, my true son in the faith. True son in the faith. He had a spiritual dad. And today I really want to highlight that fact, that the significance of spiritual fathers or spiritual parents in our lives. And I wonder who you would say is your spiritual father. Who's your spiritual father if you think about that? Who are you a Paul to? Or if you're a Timothy, who is your Paul? Who are you a spiritual son to? So start thinking about that. But I'll just tell you and give you an outline of what we're doing today. Spiritual son or spiritual father. Three things that we're going to do today is we're going to do the ABC because we're at Austin Hill Baptist Church. And we're going to do the A, thinking of all giving honour, looking at 1 Timothy 5. Secondly, B, we're going to be being honourable and thinking about that as dads and men, looking at Psalm 103. And then we're going to finish in thinking about celebrating fatherhood from Romans 8. So that's a little map of where we're going if you need to know that. Start with A, all giving honour. And thinking of that, I said honour, not humour. Okay, dad jokes, give them a rest today, guys. Just for today, have a day off. But thinking about Australian context, we call our dads our old man. Now, just wondering if that's an honouring thing, is it? Is that a dishonouring thing? I suppose I'd like you to think about that and consider how we use that. Depends maybe which tone you say it in. But I'll leave you to ponder that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, how you think it is in our culture, calling your dad your old man. But moving to the US culture and thinking about The Simpsons, the cartoon, yeah? Now, I haven't watched much of The Simpsons. I don't think I've watched a full episode, actually. But I do know that Homer, we share the same middle name, Jay. And how is Homer portrayed in the cartoon? Well, he's obese, he's balding, he's immature, he's lazy, he's unprofessional, he loves TV, loves beer and junk food, dull. How is he portrayed? Well, he's portrayed as someone not being that honourable or being that one of much honour. Really, he is the joke of the actual cartoon, isn't he? And the joke's on Homer, if you haven't noticed. But the thing I love about God's word is, in 1 Timothy 5 particularly, it doesn't have conditions. It's not give honour only if someone is honourable or if honour is due. The old man has actually lived a little bit longer than you, and he could have something helpful to say to you, even if he tells daggy dad jokes. Now, within family structure and within life, where you're born in relation to other people, there is a call and seems to be a call for universal honour. So let's have a look at 1 Timothy 5, just for a moment. Keep your finger in Psalm 103, but go 1 Timothy 5:1. It's just one verse. If you don't want to flick there, I'll read it for you. And it says this: do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exalt him as if he were your father. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exalt him as a father. There you go, one verse that I just want to take a little bit out of context and for us to hone in and think about. But let's apply that. And let's apply that by starting firstly in context to think about who he is talking to. Paul writes to Timothy, and as he writes there, he speaks and he uses the elder word, which is the Greek word for presbyter. And that's where we get the church, the Presbyterian church, exactly. Where in the Baptist church, we have elders normally and deacons. Well, we just have a leadership who do that role and have the spiritual oversight. And how do we give honour? How do we give honour to our spiritual leaders or our elders? Well, here's two ways you can do that. The way you speak to them gently and respectfully. And even when they get things wrong, don't speak harshly to them, but honestly to them. And take that to them with respect. But not only the way you speak of and how you refer to those who are in leadership or elders, you can actually be praying for them. Praying for them as they are shepherds to your soul, and that they'll have wisdom to know how to do that well and the great responsibility that lies upon their shoulders. But second area of application which we can do this is not just thinking about giving honour to elders, but giving honour to spiritual parents or spiritual fathers. And I want you to take a moment to think of that now, how we might do that to those that actually have introduced you to Jesus, those that invested in you growing as a follower of Jesus, and those who have spent a lot of time in prayer for you. How can you give honour to them? Well, three ways you can possibly do that. Don't run them down or speak ill of them when you come up with a better or more robust theology than they have or they taught you. That would not be that honouring. You can pray for them too. They've probably spent a lot of hours in prayer for you. It'd be great for you to pray for those spiritual fathers, those spiritual parents that you have. And thirdly, the thing that you could do for them is you could encourage them. And I want to encourage you to call them today or to message them today or to have a conversation with them today and say what you're so encouraged about, what they have, how they've invested in your life. Will you do that? I want to really encourage you to actually take the opportunity to do that this day. But there's a third area of how we can apply this as well. That is not only giving honour to elders, not only giving honour to spiritual fathers and parents, but giving honour to your old man. That is those that particularly your earthly father, grandfather, great-grandfather, stepfathers, and your old man. Those, and here, how do we do that? Well, you've actually got all day to think about that. You've got all day to consider that. how you might do that. But here's some thoughts that I had. Don't speak harshly to them or hurtful to them. Yes, speak honestly to them, but do it in an honorable way. Secondly, don't make them the butt of jokes, of all jokes anyway. Don't make out them to be the Homer of everything. And another way you could do that is exalt them as you seek to listen to them, as you seek to love them, and as you seek to look after them. Now, if my kids are listening, and a tip to them today, some of the things that I like doing, just an aside while we're here, I love just scrolling as well, but just scrolling through old photos we've got. And I love to do that with you. I love to actually watch series with you, like you like watching series, but I'd love you to watch the Chosen series with me. Season 4's out. And I'd love a back massage today as well. You can do the second ones both at the same time if you want. You know, time efficiency, it's up to you. And everyone here can keep you accountable, see how you went with it. firstly, honouring, all honouring. But secondly, being honourable is what I want to look at, part B. Being honourable. Now, dads, this is to you particularly, those that are dads in whatever category or way you are a father. And I want to say, don't focus on getting honour as if it's something that a right you can demand, but actually being honourable. And how are you going to do that? Well, the best way to do that is actually focus in on your Heavenly Father and focus in on Him. And one of the best ways to do that is in His Word. So come with me to Psalm 103. And as we look at Psalm 103, it will really help us focus in on Heavenly Father so that we might be more like Him and that we may be honourable and we might be worthy of honour. Take you to particularly verse 13 if you want. It's a good one for Father's Day. It says there in 103 verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." A great verse for Father's Day 2024. Go up to verse 8 and it reminds us and states again that the Lord is compassionate. Not only is he compassionate in verse 8, he is gracious. What else does it say there? He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. The Lord is compassionate. He is the one who has a heart feeling for you. He has a gut-wrenching feeling as he thinks after you and you in your situation. The best way we saw that, we looked at Mark earlier in the year, and Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, says that he has compassion on them. And we see Jesus have this gut-wrenching feeling for those people as they were helpless and as they were hungry. The Lord has compassion. He is gracious also. He doesn't say, "I told you so." He actually waits patiently for his children to return to him and to come to him. He is very generous. He is very gracious. He is so gracious that he is slow to actually get angry. He doesn't fly off the handle or have a short fuse. He actually is very patient. He actually doesn't want anyone to perish who don't know him. He's being patient and waiting for them and wanting them to come to him. He doesn't want them to spend eternity without him. He is loving and abounding in love. Verse 11, have a look at it with me. Verse 11, it says here, "As far and as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is his love for those who fear him." Verse 17 goes on to say, "But from everlasting," and that great song that we sang at the beginning, "from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is for those who fear him." And his love is so intense that he's actually willing to forgive. Look at verse 3. Great news for us. It says, "Who forgives all your sins." Is that all your sins? All of the things that you've done? Forgives all your sins. Verse 12, it gives us an illustration or an image. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." How has he done that? Well, he's done that in the loving Lord Jesus. And every time the Lord looks at you, he looks and overlooks your sin and he sees his Son, the Son of God, the Son of God who lives the life that we couldn't live and who gives the life as he does on the cross, paying for our sins, to forgive all our sins. This is the good gospel news message here for us to see. It reminds us of the story of the lost son, the father who overlooks the son's reckless living and is so glad to have him home. He overlooks that to actually see his son, and he has compassion and a heart for his son. And we see that story in Luke 15, if you want to check that out. Well, as we spend time actually reflecting on the Father and reflecting on God, the Father, we actually are a greater reflection of him and will become a greater reflection of him and will actually be worthy of honor and will be being honorable to be actually honored. So let me encourage you in that, fathers. Third thing to do is our C. Are you with me still? ABC, yep. Here we are, celebrate. Celebrate fatherhood. And we're going to finish looking at a verse in Romans 8. How do we celebrate fatherhood? We can go in straight into applying this. I mean all dads from all degrees, whether you're a great or a grand, whether you're a step, whether you're a surrogate, a biological dad, celebrate them. Well, how do you do that? Well, celebrate when you see a glimpse of your Heavenly Father in them. Now, it's not going to happen all the time. You can't expect it to happen all the time, but when you get a glimpse of what the Heavenly Father is like through maybe an action that they do, maybe something, a loving action they do towards you, celebrate and rejoice. Celebrate when your Heavenly Father has put you in those different relationships, because he actually wants to show you something through your earthly father, through your earthly grandfather or great-grandfather, or your stepfather. Celebrate that God wants to actually teach you something through that relationship. So that's applying that to all dads. But I want to particularly apply this to spiritual dads, as I've already mentioned. Particularly spiritual dads. Celebrating that you can be a Paul. You can be a father figure to someone here. And who could you be a Paul figure to? For those men of us here, to the actual, those people here at ABCH, but also beyond that as well. Who can you be that figure to? Now, men, today may be a day for you to take initiative. If you are 30 plus, I want you to really think and consider about this. Who you could be a spiritual dad to, who you could be a Paul figure to. One of the beautiful relationships that I see happening here at ABCH is Nathan doesn't like attention, but he's getting married in a month, and I'll just put a quick little bit of attention on Nathan. We're all excited about that. Can't you hear their excitement, Nathan? Yeah. Less than a month. And I met with Nathan and Linda Ruth this week, or last week. It's a great thing, an exciting thing. Nathan did suddenly lose his dad a couple of years ago. A very sudden thing. And one of the great relationships that I see coming out of that and since that is Graham and his way that he's been like a surrogate dad to him in some ways and a spiritual dad. Now, you can ask those two men about that, but I see that and it's a beautiful thing that I see. It's a great thing. So I want to really encourage you to think about fostering one of those relationships. Celebrate too, that you can be a Timothy, all of you. You can be a Timothy, having a spiritual faith figure in your life. Who could be your Paul? I ask you, if you're a teen here, and there's a few teens here, start looking who can be your spiritual father in the faith. If you are actually a young man, if you're a young dad, start thinking you need some wisdom to work on the road and how you would do this journey. Who could be that father figure to you and who could speak into your life and who could help you, pray with you, pray for you. If you are a middle-aged man, you've got teenage kids or you've got young adult kids, who's that person you're looking to be that spiritual father? If you're retired, well, just look for someone who's a bit more experienced in retiree, who could actually maybe be a spiritual figure for you. But maybe you already have a Paul figure in your life. Maybe you have you're a Timothy and you have a Paul figure in your life. Well, just celebrate that. But actually be thankful and actually be thinking about those relationships. Lastly, how we can apply this is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Primarily, this is how we can this is how we can apply this. And I want us to finish off thinking about this thought. Celebrate fatherhood from Romans 8, verse 15. You can go and look at that sometime. You'll probably know, probably many of you will know it. It's that great passage where it talks about the gift that God gives us in His Spirit. And that gift in us actually cries out. The gift of the Holy Spirit reminds us that we have a Father in heaven who we can call out to and we can say, Daddy God. We can say, Abba, Father. Let that be the primary focus in the way that you apply this today. Celebrate that you have a Heavenly Father and that you are one of His children. Meditate on Psalm 103 and have the most blessed Father's Day that any of us can ever have. God bless you. Amen. I hope you agree with me. It's been a really good morning. And I've really enjoyed our gathering this morning, the sharing that's happened. And I'd love to hear how you found this morning yourself. But please focus our thoughts now on our Heavenly Father, what it means that we can cry out to Him as our Father in heaven. Amen. This is our God. Keep your thoughts and focus upon Him as the day goes out, whatever feelings and however it falls upon you this day. God bless you as you go. And have a great Father's Day.